Welcome to the Hustle Up podcast, the podcast that shares the unique stories of startups, side hustles, and the self-employed. I'm your host, Josh Burrell.
Today, I've got the founders of Lilt, Georgia Lewis Anderson, and Gussie Sakulabari. Welcome, welcome, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us. Exciting.
How would you like the product to be known?
Essentially, it's a dating app where you can only use voice notes. So we're hoping to pioneer voice first dating.
It's not the fizzy drink, Lilt. It's not the tropical fruit drink. How did you come up with the name Lilt?
No, it's not. It's L-Y-L-T. And the reason why we called it that is because it's the lilt of someone's voice. So the lilt of someone's voice means the rising and falling of someone's voice. And so we thought you can fall in love with the lilt of someone's voice. And that's why we called it Lilt.
Mm-hmm. What were some of the other names you thought of before you came to Lilt? Were there any that didn't make the grade?
There's a whole list, wasn't there?
Oh, my days. We had so many. I'm trying to think what they were. Can you remember?
I can remember one of them was listen, but without any vowels. So it was L-S-T-N.
Yeah, obviously vowels like aren't cool in the tech world, apparently.
There was a whole list, wasn't there? Though some of them were really off key. Mm-hmm. But we were trying to find something that was like related to sound and audio, but wasn't the obvious. Like, you know, for example, Tinder is about like striking a match, but you would never think Tinder was related to dating, would you? As a word.
I never thought of kind of the origins of Tinder, but yeah, in terms of the app itself, is it purely dating or is it for building other relationships, friendships, for example, or are you focusing on people wanting to find love?
Well, I feel like we can't guarantee that people are going to find love on our platform, but we hope that people are going to have a lot more fun doing it. We saw a lot of our mates around us just really fatigued with the dating apps that are available. And we know that when humans aren't meant to communicate on a keyboard, like typing away behind a screen, like we just want to strip things back to the natural way for humans to communicate and hopefully work towards eradicating disposable dating and serial swiping. We're hoping people will fall in love, make friends and everything in between on our platform.
Yeah, and we clocked, you know, basically who you are in your written messages isn't who you are when you speak. So you could be really quiet in real life, but write essays when you type, or you could be monosyllabic on text message but like be a real chatter. So we were just like, how do we get past that? How do we get someone to know the other person better? And what did start as a dating app, but actually it's probably gone the other way, and we've thought this could be a way of social networking in the way that Clubhouse is.
Yeah, and I think like emojis were invented because like there's not enough words sometimes to describe exactly how you feel on text. So it's really just taking the next step onwards from that. We also see audio having a moment. You know, we see the Clubhouses and the Spotify investing in podcasting and the myriad of other kind of audio first apps that are blowing up right now. So yeah, it felt very serendipitous that we came up with it and then we clocked what the market was saying, basically.
Perfect. And I always like to go back to the beginning with my guests. So how was life growing up for both of you? Family life? Where did you live? What were some of your interests? Have you always been interested in technology, entrepreneurship, things like that?
I'll go first. So I'm Gussie. I grew up in Holloway Road in North London, which was not as nice as it is now, 30 years ago. And I lived with my mum and dad and two sisters, and I was the middle child, which meant that I always was sort of vying for attention. And my parents were both self-made, so it kind of ensured a real work ethic in me and made sure that I was always like working from the age of 16 and kind of being creative in the ways that I could make money.
And hello, I'm Georgia. I grew up in Northwest Cricklewood. It's quite a glamorous borough of London, I don't know if you know. And yeah, it's me and my mum, mostly. My dad was around, but he wasn't there. My mum was a sound engineer, so that was pretty inspiring to watch. Like, she was in studios recording bands, and there definitely weren't a lot of female sound engineers, like in the 90s, basically. I probably got the hustle from, I got a scholarship to a private school, and my mum definitely does not come from that kind of background. And I think I just thought, right, if I want my life to be different, I'm going to have to work really hard. So yeah, just had like a million different jobs since then, basically.
Perfect. And did you both go to university, or what was your route after school?
Yeah, so I did a pointless but very interesting degree in philosophy and social anthropology at Manchester. And then I went on to do a master's in visual anthropology, which is basically kind of studying how to put different cultures on screen in a sort of ethical way. It's ethnographic filmmaking. And that's what got me into my day job now, which is I'm a documentary director. So it was kind of nothing to do with tech. About as techy as I get in my normal life is using a camera, which I do, but yeah. I'm sort of not in the tech world at all.
What about you, Georgia?
Yeah, so I stayed in London to go to uni because I really wanted to do work experience, and I knew that I'd need my student loan to pay for that, basically, because it definitely wasn't as regulated as it is now. Basically, you had to work for free for a long time before you get any work. So I studied journalism at City, and while I was there, I did loads of like just presenting, broadcasting, writing, and I ended up working for this startup called SBTV, which then went on to become quite a big sort of music and grime focused YouTube channel, one of the first basically. And then, yeah, from there I did loads of radio presenting, Beats One, Virgin Telly. And basically I was just like accidentally freelance when I graduated. Then I realized I really needed to pay my rent, and I couldn't always pay my rent with the free trainers that people were sending me. So then I applied for a job that was like a creative writing job and ended up being at Microsoft, working on the personality of their artificial personal assistant Cortana, which is quite random. And then from there, I ended up doing AI conversation design at Google. And now I do a bit of everything.
Perfect. No, I'm sure a lot of the listeners will know SBTV and certainly Beats One as well in the more recent times. So my next question is probably, how did you two meet? What's the story behind your friendship and your business now?
Do you want to go friendship and I'll go business?
Sure. We met through a mutual friend who my best mate was at uni with Gussie, and we went to Park Life. It's a festival in Manchester, and we just had a lovely time and became pals.
Yeah. Actually, in terms of hustling, it was that festival, Park Life in Manchester, was set up by some of our friends. So we went in and we sort of, that's how we met. Mm-hmm. Probably at the front of a stage somewhere. There's actually a picture of us. It was 12 years ago, so it was 2009. And there's a picture of us both sort of looking like we're having a very fun time, arm in arm. And I think it was like the first time we'd ever met. So I think we hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
And then what kind of drove you down the path to want to start a business together, or what was the founding moment for Lilt? Was there like a light bulb moment for you?
Yeah, so it was actually last year in lockdown, probably around July time, so July 2020. And I was watching the popular Netflix programme, Love is Blind.
Yeah, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, we all did. And then I sent Georgia a voice note, which we probably still have, saying, I just had a thought. People probably can fall in love just from the sound of people's voices. Maybe we should set up a dating app where you only use voice to communicate. And then I just sort of sent it as a funny voice note and an idea, because we were always sharing ideas with each other like that. And then Georgia was like, no, for real, I think this is a really good idea. I think we should do this. And then we sort of started meeting up and talking about it and sitting in my garden and talking about names. And then it just sort of evolved, didn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we both have like... Well, we're both freelance and have other jobs on the go. So it's been kind of like evenings and weekends. And then suddenly we're like, whoa, I think we've got business now.
How's the pandemic affected you guys in terms of getting things started? Has that been difficult in terms of like meeting up, sharing ideas, doing everything virtually, mm-hmm. Even getting people to know about Lilt?
I think if it wasn't for the pandemic, we wouldn't actually have a business. I think we wouldn't have had the time or the idea, really. And we saw the use of voice notes and podcasts. You said yourself at the beginning, you started the podcast because they were getting so hot in lockdown. So in a way, it's been the mother of our idea, but also it's been hard because we're freelance and financially it hasn't been the easiest thing.
Yeah, but also lockdown saw dating app usage grow exponentially. So obviously that kind of spurred us on because we were like, this is the perfect time. This is the only way people are meeting each other at the moment. And if you can only meet people through written messages, then how can we like, you know, boost that? And that is by actually talking to people. There was a lot of video dating that was going on in lockdown. And actually the feedback that we got from people was that that was too intense. It was too much and too intimidating to meet people by video for the first time. But exchanging voice notes felt like a happy medium. And actually, by all accounts, we've done surveys and stuff, and by all accounts, lots of people use voice notes anyway to communicate, because you can just get such a better sense of who someone is before you meet them.
Yeah, and I think we've got that thing of screen fatigue. Everyone sits in front of a screen for their Zoom calls, their team calls at work. And at the end of the day, sometimes you just want to close your laptop lid. No offense to you guys now, but sometimes you just want to take a break and get away from the screen. So I think if people had to add video dating into that mix, it does add that extra element of, God, do I have to sit in front of a screen even longer? And do I need to cancel on this person that I've literally just arranged a first date with, or what have you?
Yeah.
So I guess it has been quite difficult.
Also, I don't want to put on makeup for someone that I might not even fancy. Like, sorry, mate.
Yeah. I'm glad I don't have that issue. Mm. So in terms of the actual interface of Lil, you haven't launched yet, but are you envisioning that people would still have a profile and a profile picture as well as being able to use the voice element? What's the kind of architecture of it?
Yeah, so we had we saw some data that shows people hate the idea of not having any pictures at all. We're very much going to be able to see who we're talking to. We also did quite a lot of research into revealing questions. So you can actually hear your potential match's voice before you even decide if you want to match with them. It's going to be just lovely, really intuitive, no swiping. Really at the core and the essence of Lil is like getting back to the natural way for humans to communicate, and our interface UI and UX is really going to reflect that. Just be really exciting and intuitive and sexy.
And what would you say has been the hardest thing about getting Lil off the ground for you?
The hardest thing is probably the fact that we both had to juggle our normal job. So Georgia works part-time at Google and an amazing thing called Space Hero. And I am a freelance documentary director for BBC and Channel 4 mostly. And, you know, jobs have been few and far between at the moment. So juggling, being able to sort of stay afloat personally and also dedicating enough time that we're getting off the ground has been tricky. But now we're at a stage where we've actually got a little bit of funding. So that's freed up our time. So we've been able to, so far we've sort of launched a website, got all the design features in place. We've built a team. We have been on an incubator. We were on an incubator for a few months, which is amazing. The One Tech incubator, which helps founders set up businesses. We've got a newsletter, we found mentors and things like that. So we've been really busy, but this first bit of investment has allowed us to sort of get marketing and things like that as well.
Yeah, we have learned so much, and I'm sure as any entrepreneurs listening know, it's just never ending. There's never like it's not like you clock out for the day and you're done. So I think the challenge has been, how do we fit this in around our other jobs while also keeping the work-life balance and, you know, being hustly enough to prove to investors that we're worth it and we're worth their cash for us to leave our other jobs, but at the same time not get completely burnt out when you live in your office. So
yeah, it's been a tough time with the pandemic, trying to juggle so much, I think, for so many people. And would you both say that you're really excited for the launch, or are you a bit hesitant at the moment? What are your feelings?
No, I'm really excited. I can't wait. I feel like we've thought about it so much. And as a lot of other founders will know, things change all the time. We have become masters at pivoting and just had to be almost like Zen Buddha-like in being like not too attached to our original outcomes or our original plans. And all the testing that we've done so far and what we've done up until this point has made us feel gassed. So I just can't wait to get the product out there. I can't wait to meet someone who's like, oh yeah, I met my husband on Lil, or I met my we like had a little baby. Like, that's just gonna be great.
In terms of the platform itself, so you've mentioned you've had some user testing. It's an invite only platform, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's invite only at the moment. The testing at the moment is basically prototype testing. So we're actually using a different social media platform where people are interacting using voice notes. And that's just to show that it can work. And the feedback we've got so far is that people love it and they do feel like they can get to know someone much easier and quicker, and whether they've got a vibe with someone or not. And it's actually fine if you do not feel like you've got a vibe with someone, that's also fine, but you just know that quicker, so you're not spending ages talking to them for no reason.
Okay. And then obviously I think it was this week they've announced that there's a Catfish UK coming out. Are you guys worried about people voice fishing or catfishing using Lil?
Interesting. No, I think we're gonna, you know, eventually like have some AI programs that scan the audio for like safeguarding. Like, we're really going to have like a one strike policy of any kind of like lewd or offensive things. Obviously we've both been privy to weirdos on the internet in our time, and it's really important for us that Lil is a safe space. I mean, I think I love the idea of like manipulating your voice to create almost like voice memes. I think that's quite fun. I do think it's dangerous when it comes to the kind of like weirdly, you know, people can impersonate Trump kind of vibe, but I don't know. I haven't really given much thought to audio catfishing, but thanks for bringing it up.
Just one thing to think about.
Yeah. We have thought about the safety, like Georgia says, is really important to us. I think, you know, the one thing, good thing about Lil will be that you can't copy and paste a message and send it to 10 different people at once. Whereas that's what kind of what happens, you know. And also you won't be able to send pictures, so it would only be audio. We feel like that's kind of a safe, and it's a one-stroke policy, so we feel like that's a safe way to do it. We'll have all sort of authentication to even set up a profile, like through Facebook and things like that as well.
Mm. I mean, it's getting exciting. There's going to be like voice recognition soon. So I feel like, you know, in the future, if we do have some kind of technology that we can tell who's speaking, then there should be no way for people to impersonate other people, providing we have the data set. But it's a chin stroker.
Cool. No, that's really, really interesting. And I think the safeguarding is one that's increasingly important, particularly with everything that's been happening in the news recently, with Sarah Everard and some of the other cases of violence against women. So I think having a one-strike policy and not allowing things like that to run riot is really sensible. I was going to also ask about sort of your friends' personal experiences from other dating apps. Obviously, you don't need to name and shame any other apps, but have you heard from friends who have had bad experiences on other apps? Has that kind of spurred you on, or people who have struggled in lockdown dating?
Yeah, I mean, both of us, Georgia and I, have both used dating apps in the past and also have friends who have used them a lot. And I think, you know, we did quite a lot of research into it at the beginning, and there's studies that show that serial swiping is not good for your mental health. So it can lead to increased distress and anxiety. In terms of specific examples, you know, there's lots of funny stories as well from dating apps. It's not just like that they are all doom and gloom. I'm just trying to think, Georgia, can you think of any funny stories? There's probably so many that it just all blurs into one.
Mm. I mean, also, don't get it twisted. Like, dating apps are brilliant. Like, we are careful not to, like, base our sales pitch on, like, cussing other platforms that have done commercially really well. But things that I have seen with us and our mates are, yeah, loads of stuff. Talking to someone, they look different. Their picture's outdated. They're much taller. They're much shorter. You get to that weird stage where you're kind of just monosyllabically texting each other. And you're just like, I don't need a pen pal. You're talking for time. You never meet them. Yeah, you know, like...
Ghosting only started... Ghosting was invented through dating apps. It wasn't a thing before, really. And I think that's like one that cuts deep.
Yeah. And I think it's easier to ghost on text. I feel like when you're using your voice, you're almost immediately more vulnerable. So you're putting more out there, but you're getting a lot more back. So we're hoping it's going to form a much more personal and human connection that's going to be a bit harder just to treat people as disposable as they have been in the past.
Yeah. And you obviously miss out on those kind of misconstruances where people say something in a text that you might not read it quite right, or you might overthink what they've said and spend ages trying to craft a reply. So I think with the voice, it really does add that extra element of clarity, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, I've got a good one, actually. My friend met someone in a club and she got his number, and then she messaged him, hi, but the thing accidentally said HIV.
See, that wouldn't happen with a voice
note. It wouldn't happen.
You can be a lot more clear, can't you? And there's no autocorrect.
Yeah,
to your voice.
And like sarcasm, very hard to get across between strangers. Loads of self-humour. Yeah. You can tell immediately where someone's from, like kind of just what, like if they're on the level, what kind of vibe they are. Like loads of things.
The amount of times a joke's gone flat because somebody's like, sorry, are you joking? Mm-hmm. And you have to go, lol, brackets. Yeah. Or you have to put like a laughing emoji or something.
Yeah.
So it will just get around all those obstacles.
And is it UK only to begin with, or is it looking to branch more globally, or is that kind of further down the line?
Yeah, it's going to be UK first. It's actually going to be city by city, because obviously we want our users to be able to mingle IRL. But eventually, yeah, we 100% have global plans. We have found some research that shows voice notes are particularly popular in Spanish-speaking countries. So we imagine it's going to like take off there and beyond.
I was going to say that, actually. That was one of the things I thought of before I got you on. But I remember back in the days, I used to actually get the tube places. You'd always see people just like on the phone sending random voice notes. And it always happened to be people that were speaking Spanish in my experience.
I think it's, I mean, I have no idea why really, but my hypothesis is that because they often speak very fast and it's quite a difficult language to write down. So maybe that's why.
Also, maybe they're a little less reserved than us Brits, you know.
Yeah, they're not as intimidated about sending a voice note.
Yeah.
Or it could just be they've got less data to do a video call, just send a load of voice notes. In terms of future plans for the business, obviously you haven't launched yet. Is there a date you can exclusively reveal at the moment, or...?
We don't have a set date. The stage we're at the moment is we are just about to do our first seed round, where we're hoping to raise 250k, which feels like a lot of money. But basically, that will help us build the app. We've got our development team in place, and then we're hoping to launch in like autumn this year, just in time for cuffing season.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, so we're just like proving all our traction now, and we're just finding those angels.
Great.
That's been our biggest learning curve for both Gilda and I, because neither of us have ever set up a business before. So in terms of like what that even means to find an angel and to do a seed round and to get all the legals in place and to like project how your business is going to do in the first year and the second year and all that stuff, neither of us have ever done anything like that before. So that's kind of been a very, very steep learning curve. But it's been quite cool to sort of get to this age and do your day job well enough that you kind of have a handle on it and then have a whole new world that you sort of are then learning about, if that makes sense.
Okay, kind of related to that then, have you had any guidance from start to where you are now, and have you had any mentors that have held your hand or guided you through the process?
Yeah, I think so much of being an entrepreneur is like hustling or hassling even people to talk to you, and just talking to anyone that might be of use, like, because you just never know what data there is in other people's brains that might be really helpful. So we will literally talk to anyone. We've had a lot of mentors from, I mean, I could like list them, but from a woman called Elo who runs Weave, who has just mates of mates, even strangers. Someone works with someone, could you introduce us? Louise Doherty, who runs Yola, she got loads of funding and went through the tech stars. Deborah Sass, who I've been working with on Space Hero, serial entrepreneur. John Kershaw, who founded Bristler, dating app for people who like beards. a legend called Mo, who started Antidate. Have I missed some, G?
Leo from Matchpoint.
Yeah.
We've been really lucky to have quite a few different voices. Most of the people have set up apps, if not dating apps, or been some kind of serial entrepreneur. And I think the hardest thing has been listening to everyone and then still making your own decision, because quite often what would happen is we'd have one conversation with somebody and we'd be like, yeah, yeah, no, that's a really good idea. And then we'd have another conversation with somebody and they'd give us some conflicting advice and we'd be like, yeah, no, that's what we're going to do. And then we'd go round and round in circles. So it's like that has been a big thing for us, is kind of taking on everyone's advice and then just forging our own path.
Because everyone thinks their way is the right way, and it is and was the right way for them, but you kind of have to amalgamate and take it all with a pinch of salt. Danielle Dudu, who founded Pin and Pintro as well, was helpful. Yeah, there's been loads of people along the way.
And how do you think dating is going to change post-pandemic, other than everyone signing up to Lilt, of course?
I feel like people are going to be a lot more aware of how precious their time is with their friends and family. So I predict that single people are going to have a lower threshold for crap dates, wasting their time on their phone. They're not going to want to be on their phone as much as they have been now. Like, I don't know about you, but my screen time is wild and I'm just not interested in that life. So I'm hoping the market's going to be really ripe for a much more human way of connecting as Lilt.
What about you, Gussie?
I think the same. I think, like, you know, the one thing that we've all realised is that we've been quite isolated, and actually the importance of human connection and talking to someone, interacting with someone in a meaningful way is crucial. And so I think written messages, people are just going to be done with it, hopefully.
And what do you both do to wind down when you're not thinking about Lilt or at work?
Well, we both, this lockdown, so George has been staying in Margate this lockdown, and we've both been doing a lot of cold water swimming. So that's something that we've been forced ourselves to do, which has been really good for our mental health. We've been swimming in the sea and also now that Hampstead Ponds is back open, we've been going down there. And it's good. It gives you a little reboot, clears your head. It keeps you motivated as well. Because I think one thing that was a struggle in like lockdown 3.0 was just kind of keeping motivated, keeping going, especially when you're starting a business.
Yeah, we both love exercise, a bit of yoga, cooking, dancing around the kitchen, you know.
So recommendations. Do either of you have a book, a film, TV show, or something you're listening to that you'd recommend to listeners? It can be related to business or just something in general that you've really enjoyed.
It's kind of old, but I loved the series that Gimlet Media did called Startup. It started off where they were actually making their own podcast company and they didn't even know if it could get off the ground. And if you know about that story, they actually ended up being bought by Spotify a couple of years ago. So it's a mad story. And you hear all the behind the scenes, like him chatting with his wife about like the pitches and what he should wear and putting a company together. And then they followed other businesses on their journey. And I think series two was actually two girls starting a dating app. So it was really entertaining, but then it's like sly startup advice, so it's good.
Yeah, I think I listened to that. I remember listening to one where they were just kind of rattling through how to come up with a name and trying to think of Gimlet, and there were loads of others that just didn't make it. So yeah, maybe I'll get bought by Spotify one day. That'd be lovely. Yeah. But we'll see. What about books? Are there any books that either of you really enjoyed recently or over the years?
I wasn't going to say books, but I was going to say a series, again, Netflix, other streaming platforms do exist, which was called The One, which came out recently. I don't know if you saw it. And it was basically, the concept was that there was a dating app where you could take a DNA test and then you would find your, everyone has a the one, and you would be able to find your one. And it's kind of what that does to relationships. If they're all, if you're only in a relationship, if you could find out who your one was, would you do it? That kind of thing. And the reason why Georgia and I really enjoyed it is because a dating app is run by two people, but one of them is a woman. And so it was quite funny to see this woman who is sort of went from just being kind of, and a woman who is excited about an idea to sort of this basically mega bitch at the top of her company. And we sort of were thinking, I hope you don't have to be a mega bitch to be at the top of your company. Because it's nice to see women in those kind of leadership roles. And especially in tech, we've been made aware so many times that kind of there aren't that many female founders. And so it's kind of fun to see that on screen. But then it's disappointing that she has to be such a bitch.
Mm-hmm. I have to give that one a go.
Yeah, that's good. I'm a bit of a hippie. I love The Artist's Way as well. I love writing my morning pages. So I'd say that's just a good book for anyone to read anytime.
We both do a bit of journaling, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
To get us through the days. Oh, yeah.
Give me a crystal, mate. I'll be there. Yeah.
It's one thing I haven't got into, to be honest. I remember the period where loads of bloggers were getting into bullet journaling, and I just kind of missed the boat, I think, and never took it up. But I probably need to do something more mindful to get me focused before the workday.
Well, I think the 5-Minute Journal is actually a Silicon Valley-based startup, and it's backed in the science of gratitude, and it's a really quick one, so that might be a good one to get you going.
And it's definitely helped us stay focused, I think. Like we say, when we're juggling our real jobs and then our real lives and lockdown and trying to set up an app, having that sort of three bullet points, that things that would make the day great, things that you're grateful for, a daily affirmation, it really helps you stay on your game.
And I know it sounds really American and like saccharine, but trust me, it could just be like, oh, that lovely sandwich I had for lunch.
Yeah, the one thing that has got me more active during lockdown is we rescued a dog from Spain about 2 years ago. So walking him kind of religiously every day since last March when they told us to work from home. So that gets me out every morning, and we've been doing a bit of training with him as well. So hopefully he'll be the perfect dog in the next couple of months.
Sweet. Nice one.
Who do you guys see as your role models? So female role models or any role models from business or just people you think have done really great things in the world?
Difficult one. Female role models. I think some of our mentors that we mentioned before are people that we really look up to because they have... you kind of been there, done that. They're teaching us through their own mistakes. And then I think that's a hard thing to do, to kind of recognize where you might fail, but then also not just seeing it as a failure because you're passing on the knowledge that's helpful to other people. Mm-hmm. Who would you say, Georgia?
I think, you know, if we're going to zoom out, obviously Whitney Wolf's story is very inspiring. Like she got like turfed out of Tinder and then started a whole new thing. Michelle Kennedy, who founded Peanut. Sophia Amoruso, who started nasty gal off the back of like starting an eBay store. And then there's loads of like old school broadcasters that I love, like Barbara Walters, incredible, like OG American interviewer that's like interviewed loads of prime ministers and stuff, down to like my mom, who, you know, really came from humble beginnings and was just soldiering being a woman in the music industry while I was growing up. So yeah,
shout out the mums, to be fair. Both of them are G's.
Mums are awesome. Whitney Wolf, is that the founder of Bumble?
Mm-hmm.
Just for anyone listening. Yeah, I think I listened to a podcast with her a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, that is a really massive story. And is she a billionaire now?
Yeah, she just floated an IPO. Although she doesn't own much of Bumble, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
And then in terms of... You mentioned you're growing your team for Lil at the moment. Is there anyone in particular you'd like to single out for a thanks or a shout out?
Yeah, I mean, we love our team. So our designer is called Evita Liu. She's amazing. She's from Hong Kong, lives in London as well. And she's the one who literally in the first few weeks when we had no idea what we were doing, and she works with like, you know, proper established companies. And we were like, did we meet her on LinkedIn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we met her on LinkedIn, and we just were like, we've got these ideas for the colours and da da da. And she just whipped up our logo, made it look amazing, and since then she's kind of been our design guru ever since. And also our lead developer James Zhao is a guy who I went to school with, weirdly, but we actually met on Co-Founder Lab, remet I should say, and he's sort of been really helpful in kind of working out the strategy of how actually we can make it once we've got the funding and are ready to go.
Mm-hmm. Cal Umber as well. I worked with him on Space Hero. He's like our tech consultant. It's been really invaluable. While I've worked in a lot of tech companies, like I haven't got an engineer's brain. So it's been really good having, it's like integral to find someone that you have that chemistry with that can speak engineer's language as well as our language.
I was kind of teeing you up as well for a thanking each other for all your support and getting it going.
Thanks, but... G, for being a legend.
Oh, obviously, it goes without saying. We basically thank each other every day.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
Because also, I mean, I think the thing is, especially in lockdown, you weren't seeing anyone. And not the first one, but in the later ones, we did decide to bubble just so that we could keep up the momentum with Lilt. And it really helped. You know, we had checked, we were speaking every day, like seeing each other at least once a week. And that was kind of an amazing support, like emotionally and mentally, and not just for Lil. So that was great.
Yeah.
And is there like a 50-50 split in playing up to your strengths and things like that? Like, would you be behind the camera, Gussie, and you in front if you were doing any sort of promo videos or something like that? Or what sort of split of roles do you have? What are your strengths that you both bring to the table, would you say?
100%. I mean, that just, we played to what our strengths are. I mean, naturally, that's where we would go. But yeah, we sort of, we call ourselves co-founders, but naturally have fallen into the different brackets that we kind of excel in.
Yeah, so we're 50-50. And I think that comes down to everything. So fine, yeah, we'll play to our strengths. Like Gussie might do a bit more of like creative strategizing. And then I might do a bit more of like thinking through like how the technology is going to be implemented. But also it means divvying up the stuff that neither of us want to do. And while we're learning how to do it, like the legal stuff, the who's going to get the equity. Like, so yeah, we've both got our hands deep into those pies, if you will.
No, that's great. And I guess this is really inspirational. I hope lots of young women kind of listen to this podcast and think nothing's beyond them. This is something that you can do. And if you've got an idea, then go for it. And if you guys have got any inspirational words or quotes that you live by, would there be any that you would put forward for the listeners?
God, Georgia, you probably have a whole book full. But if you told me this time last year that I would have set up a business with one of my best friends and like was trying to be a tech entrepreneur, I just honestly wouldn't have believed you. And I think we really, really believe in this idea. We just know that it has to be made. And I think if you've got an idea like that and you believe in it enough, then you just, it will happen. And everyone we speak to about it is like, you have to make this. Yeah, you just got to have belief in yourself, basically.
Yeah. And also that's been a hump that we've overcome, to be honest. Like, yeah, fine. I've done like loads of TV presenting. I don't mind like standing up in front of a room full of strangers. But when it comes to like getting across that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to like all the elements of making a dating app and convincing someone to give me like tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds. Like, that's really hard. So we've had to work together to like get each other gassed and like make each other believe that we do actually know what we're talking about, actually. So it hasn't always been like this, and it definitely isn't all the time, but confidence plays a huge part. And then we meet someone and we know they don't know what they're talking about, but because they're so convincing, they just like are so good at selling. So I think that's been something that we've really had to like learn, the art of the sell, basically, and the sell of ourselves.
And are there any cautionary points you'd give to someone looking at starting up a business, from setting up a company or registering a business? Or are there any pitfalls that people should look out for if they would start their own business that you've experienced?
But one of the first bits of advice that we got that I think was really, really useful was from Louise Doherty, who set up Yola. And she said, there's some crazy proportion of female founders use their own money for too long when they're setting up a business. And actually what more male founders do is they seek external investment, and then that's how they set up. And so from early on, we were like, yes, we'll invest a bit of our money in, but neither of us are like ballers. We don't have a huge amount of savings. So we were like, you know, we're going to go out to people and get people to invest as early as possible so we can make things happen. And I think that was a really good bit of advice, because there is money out there for new businesses and new ventures, and you might as well capitalize on it.
I think also doing stuff yourself when you can, like for instance when we were going to make our website, which you should head over to now, liltdating.co, just try and do stuff. Because I feel like at first when we started, we were like, okay, we need someone else to do this, but actually if you put your mind to it and if you've got the energy, just try and do it yourself. Like, I actually made our website and we didn't imagine that we would have, and like, yes, it took me hours, but I got it exactly right, and actually a lot better than if somebody else would have made it for us. So I guess like just try things, see what happens. Be patient.
Yeah. Some of the other guests I've had on here always complain about stuff like taxes. So I don't know if you guys have had to do any of that yet, but that's one of the things that people often gripe about with their small businesses.
Mm. We haven't even got there yet. I'm terrified.
No, we're fresh out the womb.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't hatched yet. So
yeah,
we're pretending that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've checked out the website. It does actually look really good. So well done, Georgia. Thanks. That is amazing that you've done that all yourself. I'm still trying to wrangle with getting a new theme for my blog, because I just put it to the back of my to-do list. But maybe I'll ask if you want to design it for
sure.
Me, maybe. Is there anything else you guys wanted to mention getting towards the end and wrapping up?
Well, I would say if this sounds like the kind of thing that floats your boat, head over to our website, www.liltdating.co. Tell a friend, tell someone you work with, you know, tweet about it, put it on Instagram.
Yeah. And we're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is @liltchat, C-H-A-T.
Perfect. And any other questions for me? Anything you want to ask me about the Hustle Up podcast? Don't worry if there aren't any.
What's your day job? You didn't even tell us what your day job is.
I work in PR at Transport for London. So yeah, I work on rail mainly. The Elizabeth Line, or Crossrail as most people know it, is kind of my big project. So looking to launch a brand new railway under Central London, due to be complete first half of next year.
Did you ever listen to the One Extra Breakfast show when it was Twin and Yazzie and they made up a song, Where Does the Lizzie Line Go? Where does the Lizzie Line go? So good.
That's something that my bosses were astonished by when they heard it. So we're looking to kind of reach out to loads of different brands and DJs and companies for the launch. There's so much around it that we'll want to do and keep the momentum going for kind of PR events after it launches. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if we need a dating partner, I'll
Oh, maybe we could do like dates on the Lizzie line.
Dates on the train. Find some Elizabeths. Mm-hmm.
Liz, meet Elizabeth. And who's been your favourite guest on the podcast so far?
Apart from us.
Apart from you guys, I really enjoyed speaking to Tarek actually. So he's kind of been the most no holds barred, and he's had a really tough time starting his business and losing his business partner and his dad within kind of the space of a few months, but still going on and starting up like a bricks and mortar restaurant. He's also got his food trucks that go around London, and I really enjoyed kind of speaking to him and hearing him kind of lay it all bare and kind of seeing that he's still doing all right through the pandemic. It's not affected him too much as a Lebanese food startup. But all the guests are great, and I'd recommend listening to all the episodes.
No, that's definitely true. When I heard his podcast, I couldn't believe he'd been through so much, because obviously I actually met him by going to Broadgate Circle and just sort of had his falafel one time, and he was just so professional, so friendly, so lovely, and just, you would have no idea that he had been through so much, and he's still like absolutely bossing it. So I have huge respect for him, and his food's delicious.
Food is amazing, and I've got another friend who runs a pub who used to do like barbecued meats all over London, and he now's got a pub in Croydon. I've got another friend who is like a master of ceremonies, so he's still doing like comedy and stuff on Instagram. So yeah, all the guests are great, but yeah, there's loads of great people, and I'm trying to get more and more inspirational people on here. So you guys have been really great, and I appreciate the time.
Thanks. I'll have Thank a listen. You. It's fascinating how people make a living, isn't it?
It is so many different ways.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. That was our first ever podcast, and you made it very enjoyable.
Thanks, guys. That's another episode wrapped, and you can message me or follow the podcast at Hustle Up Podcast on Instagram. You can find the Hustle Up Podcast on all music and podcast platforms, and you can like or subscribe to check out future episodes. Episodes are recorded and produced by me, Josh Burrell, and music is courtesy of Hagan, spelled H-A-G-A-N, on Instagram at Hagan_UK.